From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Government to use antigen-based rapid tests for COVID-19. Government allows additional allocation of subsidized fertilizers. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government plans to use antigen-based rapid diagnostic tests to detect COVID-19, as recommended by the World Health Organization WHO spokesperson for the Task Force for COVID-19 Response, Wiku Adhisasmito said. Dr. Adi Sasmito said at an online press conference at the presidential's office on Thursday that the Indonesian government will no doubt conduct antigen-based rapid diagnostic tests. Indonesia have received a recommendation from the WHO on the use of antigen-based rapid diagnostic tests that have good quality. The antigen-based rapid tests approved by WHO are 15 to 30 minutes faster, easier, and cheaper, and can be used for examination at schools, university campuses, and workplace. The WHO plans to provide 120 million units of the antigen-based rapid test to middle and low-income countries. The World Body has set the price of emergency use listing antigen-based rapid tests at $5 per unit. The Indonesian government has allowed the allocation of an additional 1 million ton of subsidized fertilizer through state-owned producer PT Pupuk Indonesia Persero to cope with the current scarcity in the strategic commodity. The company's president director Bakir Pasaman said the additional allocation has brought the total subsidized fertilizer stock to 8.9 million tons from 7.9 million tons earlier. Pasaman said on Thursday, as quoted by Antara this week, Indonesia will get 3.1 trillion rupiah for additional allocation of subsidy for fertilizer, which is equal to almost 1 million tons of fertilizer. As many as 51 Acehnese fishermen who had been detained in Thailand for poaching were repatriated to Indonesia on Thursday after being granted a royal pardon, the Indonesian embassy in Bangkok said in a statement. The fishermen were pardoned by King Maha Fajira Longkorn of Thailand on his birthday on July 28, 2020, following which they were transferred from Pangah prison and handed over to Thai immigration in early September to complete repatriation formalities. The fishermen were sent to Bangkok on September 12, 2020, and they flew to Jakarta from the Suvarnabhumi International Airport in Bangkok in accordance with the Thai government's policy in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned on Thursday of a recent pushback against gender equality and women's rights and urged people to fight back as the United States slammed China and the world body for the murder of millions of baby girls. World leaders, including Chinese President Xi Jinping and German Chancellor Angela Merkel, took part in a virtual UN General Assembly meeting on Thursday on a landmark 1995 Women's Conference in Beijing, where the U.S. First Lady Hillary Clinton declared the women's right are human rights. While Guterres did not specify who was wary of women's right. At the 1995 conference in Beijing, 189 countries agreed to make a priority the full and equal participation of women in political, civil, economic, social, and cultural life at the national, regional, and international levels, and the eradication of all forms of discrimination on the grounds of sex. Democrat Joe Biden maintains a 9-point lead over President Donald Trump after their combative first debate, according to Reuters. Polling that shows most Americans have settled on their choice for president little more than a month before the November 3rd election. The most recent survey conducted Tuesday through Thursday found that 50% of likely voters were backing Biden, while 41% said they were voting for Trump, 4% said they were voting for a third-party candidate, and 5% were not sure. Biden has held the same 9 points advantage in 6 of the past 7 national polls dating back to early September. The polling indicates that Biden remains an early favorite to win the national popular vote. To win the election, however, a candidate must prevail in enough states to win the Electoral College, and state polls show that Trump is nearly as popular as Biden in many battleground states. The Kremlin on Thursday accused opposition politicians Alexei Navalny of working with the CIA after Navalny said he believed President Vladimir Putin was behind the suspected poisoning that put him in a coma in Germany. The accusations from Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov appears to be the first time the Russian authorities have directly accused Putin's highest-profile critic of working with the Foreign Intelligence Agency. It raises the stakes should Navalny fulfill a pledge to return to Russia and may add to pressures on Western leaders, especially German Chancellor Angela Merkel, to take action over his case. Navalny responded by saying he would sue Peskov over the accusation, challenging him to present evidence to back it up. His aide, Lyubov Sobol, called the allegations complete gibberish. Navalny, 44, emerged in recent weeks from a coma after suddenly falling ill during a flight in Siberia and being airlifted to Berlin for treatment. German doctor says he was poisoned with Novichok, a rare Russian nerve agent. The number of forest fires in Brazil's Amazon increased sharply in September. Figures released on Thursday shows, fueling growing criticism of President Jair Bolsonaro's environmental policies. The National Institute of Space Research INPE said satellite imagery showed an increase of 61% in the number of fires in September compared to the same period last year. Satellite used by the institute detected 32,017 outbreaks last month in the Amazon, compared to 19,925 in the same month in 2019. In the first 9 months of the year, the total number of fires increased by 14% over the same period in 2019. Despite the data from INPE, a world-renowned public body, far-right President Jair Bolsonaro has continued to denounce a campaign of disinformation about the Pantanal and the Amazon. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Indonesia and Vanuatu. The Republic of Vanuatu is an island nation in the southern Pacific Ocean. It lies east of Australia, northeast of New Caledonia, west of Fiji, and south of the Solomon Island. Not a big country when compared to Indonesia, which has thousands of islands in the archipelago. However, the Vanuatu state became the topic of conversation after accusing Indonesia of committing human rights violation in Papua at the UN General Assembly. An unpleasant accusation, of course. Previously, the Prime Minister of the Republic of Vanuatu, Bob Blockmand, in his statement at the United Nations said that there were human rights violations committed by Indonesia. He also asked the Indonesian government to open the door to foreign investigators. Sylvani Austin Pasaribu, the young diplomat representing Indonesia using the rights on free responding at the UN General Assembly, stated that Vanuatu's comments were completely baseless. She demanded that the country stop interfering in Indonesia's domestic affairs. The Indonesian government itself emphasized that Vanuatu is not a representative of four Papuans, so it is best to stop fantasizing about being one of them. Looking at the existing developments, it seems that it is time that matter to be taken more seriously. Melanesia, as a cluster of island extending from the East Nusa Tenggara Archipelago in Indonesia and then east to the Western Pacific, as well as North and Northeastern Australia, indeed connects Indonesia with Pacific countries. However, this does not mean that each country can ignore other principles of sovereignty. In fact, in the principles of mutual respect is ignored, there is a concern that conflicts or other problems will arise. Vanuatu or any party should not interfere with the domestic issues of Indonesia and prioritize the principles of mutual respect for the sovereignty of each country, especially among fellow Pacific countries. That way, peace in the area can be maintained. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Indonesia and Vanuatu. The Republic of Vanuatu is an island nation in the southern Pacific Ocean. It lies east of Australia, northeast of New Caledonia, west of Fiji, and south of the Solomon Island. Not a big country when compared to Indonesia, which has thousands of islands in the archipelago. However, the Vanuatu state became the topic of conversation after accusing Indonesia of committing human rights violation in Papua at the UN General Assembly. An unpleasant accusation, of course. Previously, the Prime Minister of the Republic of Vanuatu, Bob Blokland, in his statement at the United Nations said that there were human rights violations committed by Indonesia. He also asked the Indonesian government to open the door to foreign investigators. Sylvani Austin Pasaribu, the young diplomat representing Indonesia using the rights on responding at the UN General Assembly, stated that Vanuatu's comments were completely baseless. She demanded that the country stop interfering in Indonesia's domestic affairs. The Indonesian government itself emphasized that Vanuatu is not a representative of four Papuans, so it is best to stop fantasizing about being one of them. Looking at the existing developments, it seems that it is time that matter to be taken more seriously. Melanesia, as a cluster of island extending from the East Nusa Tenggara Archipelago in Indonesia and then east to the Western Pacific, as well as North and Northeastern Australia, indeed connects Indonesia with Pacific countries. However, this does not mean that each country can ignore other principles of sovereignty. In fact, in the principles of mutual respect is ignored, there is a concern that conflicts or other problems will arise. Vanuatu or any party should not interfere with the domestic issues of Indonesia and prioritize the principles of mutual respect for the sovereignty of each country, especially among fellow Pacific countries. That way, peace in the area can be maintained. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Today in History of a Voice of Indonesia. We start from a historical event on October 2, 1941, Moscow Battle begins. The Moscow Battle refers to the defense of the Soviet capital Moscow and the counterattack against German troops, which took place in October 1941 and January 1942. On June 22, 1941, Germany and its allies attacked the Soviet Union suddenly. After successfully destroying most of the Soviet Union's air power, German troops managed to penetrate deep into Soviet territory using blitzkrieg tactics. On October 2, 1941, the Central Army Group under Marshal Feder von Bock attacked Moscow with the codename Operation Typhoon. The Red Army on the Western Front, the Reserve Front, the Bryansk Front, and the Kalinin Front defended the Moscow area. Even though they suffered many casualties, the Russian troops fought tooth and nail. Thank you. Next, turn to another history on International Nonviolence Day is commemorated for the first time on October 2, 2007. International Nonviolence Day is commemorated every 2 October, coinciding with Mahatma Gandhi's birthday. He is a peace activist who carries the independence, movement through peaceful demonstrations. On 15 June 2007, the General Assembly of the United Nations declared 2 October as International Day of Nonviolence. The resolution made by the UN General Assembly calls on all UN member states to commemorate October 2 and spread the message of nonviolence. We end with a history on October 2, 2009. Batik is designated as a World Cultural Heritage by UNESCO. On October 2, 2009, the United Nations Organization for Education, Science and Culture, UNESCO, endorsed Batik as a World Cultural Heritage. Batik is included in the representative list of intangible cultural human heritage. As an appreciation for the international recognition of Batik, the Indonesian government has designated 2 October as National Batik Day. Indonesian Batik, which is considered the identity of the Indonesian nation, has many symbols that are closely related to social status, local culture, nature, and history. Listen to us today in history.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Indonesian government aggressively to attract investment from South Korea. Data from the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM shows that investment realization from South Korea in the second quarter, April to June 2020, reached $552.6 million, an increase of 340% compared to the first quarter, January to March 2020, of $130.4 million. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Bahlil Lahadalia, in his statement in Jakarta on Monday said, "This was a positive signal. Indonesia is still in demand by investors amid the COVID-19 pandemic, so Indonesia must seriously facilitate it." Bahlil added, according to the president's direction, "The investment is related to economic transformation, added value, and labor-intensive investment. Based on the first semester of January to June 2020 period, investment realization from South Korea also increased by 25%, with a total of $683 million compared to the same period in 2019 with an investment value of $548.4 million. Bahlil said, BKPM will also try to attract South Korean investors to continue investing in Indonesia, especially in the downstream industry. Therefore, he and Minister of State-Owned Enterprises BUMN Erick Thohir recently visited South Korea in order to follow up on a number of investment plans for South Korean companies in Indonesia, including downstreaming EVs of electric car batteries. Previously, Minister Erick Thohir said that even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Indonesian government continued to aggressively attracting investment. Indonesia must continue to be optimistic. Since 2015, South Korea has become the seventh largest country to invest in Indonesia after Singapore, Japan, China, Hong Kong, Malaysia, and the Netherlands. Based on data available at the BKPM Operation and Investment Command Center, investment from South Korea in the 2016 to the first half of 2020 was dominated by the electricity, gas, and water sector, the machinery industry, electronics, medical instrument, electrical equipment, the chemical industry and pharmaceutical, leather goods, and footwear industries. Based on location, the majority of South Korean investment is in Java, followed by Kalimantan, Sumatra, Papua, and Maluku. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Bicara satu kali saja sebagai ungkapan kata perasaanku padamu. Telah cukup lama ku diam di dalam keheningan. Bekuan di bibirku tak berdayanya tubuhku, dan ternyata cinta yang menguatkan aku, dan ternyata cinta setia menemani kesepianku, menjaga lelap tidurku, membasuhku setulusnya, dan ternyata cinta
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce Kafuk Dance. By having more than 1,300 ethnic groups, Indonesia is certainly rich of art and cultures, including dances. Every region in Indonesia has a typical dance and has special meaning, such as Kafuk dance from Tambrau region, Siwas, Papua. The local residents usually perform the dance to welcome guests. When dancing the Kafuk dance, the female dancers form two lines formation while swinging their hands. The elders are in front position, then followed by young people and children are in the back row. One of the dancers pulled the guests, then led to the middle of the village flanked by the dancers. During the dancing, the dancers shouting, "Siao Tayunu for Osiao," that means welcome, then mention the names of the guests. Once arriving in the middle of the village, the formation is dismissed. The kajon musical instrument is beaten with fast rhythm. Then the chieftain holds a spear and plan among the female dancers. He instructs the dancers to form a circle, while their hands are interlocked each other and their feet swing right and left. The chieftain then invites the guests to run in a circle. The movements in the Kafuk dance have their own meaning. The early movements of the dance means respect, such as movements of ducking and swinging hands, while the movements of body tapping and inviting guests to dance mean building friendship. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Kafuk Dance from West Papua. We will meet again in another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Hitam putih hidup ini.
bersamamu. Kini sendiri di sini mencarimu, tak tahu di mana. Semoga tenang kau di sana selamanya.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you, IPB University creates innovative healthy salt from seaweed. Stay tuned. IPB University lecturer Professor Nurjana created an innovative salt product derived from seaweed. She says that the idea of salt from seaweed is inspired the high number of people with degenerative diseases every year. Active salt consumption is seen as a major factor in the emergence of hypertension. The increase in cases of hypertension is caused by various factors, one of which is the result of shifting lifestyle and consumption patterns of people who prefer fast food, which is high in saturated fat, salt, sugar, and low in dietary fiber. Fast food also contains food additives in the form of preservatives, dyes, sweeteners, flavor thickeners, crisps, flavorings, and others. In addition, the daily salt consumed contains more than 94% NaCl.
Therefore, a healthy salt made from seaweed was created, which is Indonesia is rich in seaweed. Seaweed has been widely researched and developed as a producer of polysaccharides, which are used in various industries, both food and non-food. The potential for general salt and Indonesian seaweed is enormous because 70% of Indonesia's territory consists of the sea. There are 555 types of seaweeds, but no more than 10 species have been used. The opportunity to use seaweed as a functional food is assuring for both overcoming health problems such as hypertension, stunting degenerative diseases, obesity, and increasing body immunity. For hypertensive patients, there are various ingredients of this salt, which is very good for the body. In addition, seaweed salt is rich in active compounds that have been studied to have antioxidant properties. Several other types of seaweed also have active substances that function as antimicrobial, anti-tumor, anti-cancer, anti-hypertensive, which is beneficial. Therefore, it is hoped that the seaweed salt produced, apart from providing a salty taste and good aroma, has fiber which can increase body immunity. The seaweed salt innovation is still under development. That was Miss Lenny for today with the topic IPB University creates innovative healthy salt from seaweed. Thanks for listening.
Setelah jauh melangkah, cahaya kasihmu menuntunku kembali dalam dekap tanganmu. Terima kasih cinta untuk segalanya. Kau berikan lagi kesempatan itu, takkan terulang lagi semua kesalahanku yang pernah menyakitimu. kesempatan itu akan terulang lagi. Semua kesalahanku yang pernah menyakitimu.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from North Sumatra entitled Tubuh Nimarga, to be sung by Ivan KDI and Ovi Fristi. The song Tubuh Nimarga was sung and popularized by a famous singer in Mandailing, Mariati Lubis, for the first time. The song tells about families' names in the South Tapanuli region and also the origin of the clan and the general characteristics of a person's surname. The lyrics of the song was composed by Ali Asnun Siregar. To attract Indonesia's young generations, the song is rearranged and accompanied with ethnic electric pop music. Well, listeners, here Ivan KDI and Ovi Fristi with a song entitled Tubuh Nimarga. Enjoy the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.